Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news in health research. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. It's a magnificent Monday here in Florida, getting a lot of stuff done as always. And we have Dad back on the show from us live from Auburndale down here. So he's back from the trip, safe and sound with the rest of the family. So we're glad to have him back. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, good. I remember a few weeks ago I was talking about how Whole Foods had bought Trader Joe's. I was wrong. It was Whole Oats. I think it's Whole Oats. They had merged with them a few months ago, or a few, actually last year. And so I want to correct that. Also, I also said that Colin, whatever his name, Sir Steve Furtick, had signed a multi-million dollar deal with Joel Osteen. And apparently, I got punked. I got that sent to me as if that was real, and it was not real. And so I didn't vet it. I tried to vet it through my friend who knows him, and all he told me was basically that those two are really good friends. And so I thought that might have some possibility of being true, but apparently that was fake news, and they got me on it. So I apologize to you guys, and also with the Trader Joe's thing too, which is also owned by the family that owns Aldi's. So those that have not been merged into Whole Foods. So I wanted to make sure that everybody got those two retractions and corrections and clarifications correct today, Austin. What's your first story?
Well, good. I'm glad. It's definitely good. I mean, you guys know we bring you the latest news. We always try and make sure we vet everything we talk about. But occasionally, you know, we do get swung. Some of these guys put this stuff out online and, you know, basically resend it and repost it. And they blatantly know it's fake, but they're trying to get hits and views on their websites. And that's part of it. And that's just where it is now with the internet. But we do the best we can to make sure we monitor all this stuff. But also, yeah, first news today. This is pretty wild now. Now insurance inspectors are starting to use drones and massive amounts of artificial intelligence now to handle claims all the way down to the inspection process. They're saying now that about 40% of car insurers are no longer even using employees to physically inspect damages in some cases. Drones, photo-taking apps, and artificial intelligence are significantly accelerating in the auto and home insurance claim. This article is from Nicole Friedman. Traditionally, an insurance claims associated with a minor home damage or fender bender auto accidents to start with a phone call from a customer and end up later on with an inspector, an insurer coming out and inspecting the situation. They said, but now about 4 out of 10 car insurers no longer use employees to physically inspect damages in some cases, according to LexisNexis Risk Solutions survey of insurance executives. And also too, now Liberty Mutual adjusters are now using drones daily to photograph home damage, said Lily Ray, the company's vice president of claims. Is one of several insurance companies now that have received federal approval in recent years to use or test unmanned aircraft to inspect everything from hail damaged roofs to collapsed buildings. They say insurers say drones improve their ability to swiftly respond to claims from hurricanes, tornadoes, and floods by providing aerial images of places claim adjusters cannot always get to. But also too, one of the stranger aspects of it now is the fact that the AI is being used so aggressively. They actually have a insurance company called Lemonade actually allows customers to put in their photos of the damage, and they have an artificial intelligence, basically, application that views the photos and figures out how significant the damage is and then issues how much the claim should be. And it seems as if the insurance companies are starting to jump on this very, very quickly over the past year and a half to 2 years. There's definitely some benefits to that, being able to bring a drone over somebody's house and see damage for shingles, this and that. The only issue we're running into now that nobody wants to address, including this article, is what's going to start happening in 5 to 10 years now with the insurance adjuster jobs and the inspector jobs that are all throughout the United States. Where are those jobs going to go if we're going to hand more positions over to the AI and more positions over to drone inspections, Dad? So this is something that a lot of people are refusing to address. They want to talk how great AI is, and there's a lot of good things about artificial intelligence and a lot of the, you know, things we've been able to do over the last 10 to 15 years with all this. But again, we're not looking at the big picture on where this is going to go once we start allowing computers and algorithms to dictate what happens happens with our insurance that dictate how we drive, that dictate who gets a speeding ticket or a red light ticket. All these things are not being thought about, and they're going to have significantly severe implications, in my opinion, over the next 5 to 10 to 15 years when the job pool starts drying up because artificial intelligence and robots start taking over these huge aspects of positions and these huge companies, Deb.
I don't know how to say anything, but you're right. And in fact, it was interesting today. I read an article. It's called The Rise of the Weaponized AI Propaganda Machine. And it's talking about there's a new automated propaganda machine driving global politics, how it works and what it will mean for the future of democracy. I'm going to cover that right now. But this AI, we've talked about it so many times, Austin, is everywhere. It is getting involved in all of our lives. Let me give you an example. Let's say they send an automated drone out to inspect your house for shingles. Now, let's say it gets the wrong address, and it says it denies your claim, and your roof starts leaking, your sheetrock all falls down because it made a mistake. And now you got to deal with all of that because they don't have a hands-on, eyes-on person coming out to do the inspection. So there's all kinds of things that can happen on something like this that's going to create a massive problem for the homeowner. I mean, and it's all about cost-cutting. That's what it's all about. It's all about cutting jobs. But this is an interesting article on the rise of the weaponized AI propaganda machine, and what they're doing is they're blaming Donald Trump's election campaign and his winning of the election on artificial intelligence and web bots and Donald's ability to utilize that to influence public opinion. But listen to what they say here, because this is really something that I've never thought about using or talking about before. And it says that basically by leveraging automated emotional manipulation along swarms of bots, Facebook dark posts, A-B testing, and fake news networks, which now they're saying that we're all fake news, but to me, that's CNN. A company called Cambridge Analytica has activated an invisible machine that preys on the personalities of individual voters to create large shifts in public opinions. Many of these technologies have been used individually to some effect before, but together they make up a nearly impenetrable voter machine manipulation that quickly is the deciding factor in elections around the world. And what's interesting, it says that this whole thing was basically developed by DARPA and by the guys out there in the West Coast as far as with the research development processes of many of the different computer firms. But it says now the Trump organization has hijacked it. Remember, this was done by the left, the Hillary Clinton group. They broke into Bernie Sanders' election thing and basically changed the entire election thing with all of the stuff, and they actually hacked into it. But now they're saying that Donald Trump used it, and he basically used it better than they did. Now, what's funny about this is that I want to read you some of the stuff they're collecting on you and some of the statistics they're giving you, because this is some crazy stuff. In 2013, Dr. Michael Koniski, the candidate of the university, PhD candidate, University of Cambridge's Psychometric Center, released a groundbreaking study announcing a new model that he and his colleagues have spent years developing. By correlating, listen to this, subjects, that means me and you, Facebook likes with their Ocean scores, which is a standard personality questionnaire, the team was able to identify an individual's gender, sexuality, political beliefs, and personality traits based only on what they had liked on Facebook. I kid you not, guys. And it says that basically, with a mere 10 likes in this input in this model, it could appraise a person's character better than the average coworker. With 70, it could know a subject better than a friend, they know the person better than a friend. And with 150 likes by someone on Facebook, they would know them better than their parents. With 300 likes, the machine could predict a subject's behavior better than their partner. With more likes, it would know what the person thinks and how they know about themselves. It would actually know more about the person than they know about themselves and how they think. This is where this is going. This is what they're going to tie together with this massive AI system, and they will basically analyze all of your aggregates, all of your points, all of your likes and dislikes. It's all about the CIA. Why do you think the CIA is so involved in Facebook? Why do you think all this is going on? Why are they so involved in Amazon? They want to know what you're buying and what you're doing and what you're liking. That's what they're doing. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. It says that the analytical personality model has allowed it to create a personality profile. Listen to this. For every adult in the United States, 220 million of them right now have up to 5,000 data points on everything they like online. So they have completely analyzed every single adult in the United States, analyzed their personalities, and basically figured out exactly what they believe, what they want, what their likes and dislikes are. I mean, this is some scary stuff, and this has not even tied into the artificial intelligence yet from the D-Way computer. This thing, this is why if someone's struggling with alcohol and they want to make them drink more, they'll start sending them alcoholics, you know, they'll start sending them pictures with beer and pictures with whiskey and vodka and everything else. If a guy's got a problem looking at pictures on the internet he shouldn't look at, they'll start bombarding him with all that. All of this stuff is determining right now what you think and where you go and what's going to happen to the country in the future. I mean, this is crazy. Meanwhile, surprised by the results of the 2016 presidential race, they started looking into the alternative news problem. As part of his research, he basically checked 300 alternative news sites to determine how exactly they were connected to each other and the mainstream news ecosystem. What he found was unprecedented. There's a network of 23,000 pages and 1.3 million hyperlinks that ties together the alt news with all of the stuff that's going on. And now he's saying that this news is what's really driving the elections and that the people are no longer relying on the mainstream news. They're using the alternative news to figure out what they want to do and who they want to vote with. Guys, this is exactly what happened with Hillary the week before the election, in which she said that when Steve Penichek came aboard and said that the FBI and the CIA were not going to allow her to hack the election and to win the election, that they had decided it was not going to happen. The next day, she basically canceled her fireworks demonstration, if you remember, on the Hudson River, and that was almost a full week before the election, and they knew that she couldn't win, and they knew they were going to release all the information about the soul cooking and all the other things, and they were going to basically discredit everyone. This is one of the reasons Seth Rich died, because Seth Rich was releasing all the information on the pedophiles and what they were doing in the government and who these people were. So here's what's interesting about all of this stuff. This, you know, if you talk to political strategists and technologists and machine learning experts about how the AI will spread through society in the near future, you know, this, they would understand that this is going to be invasive through everything, especially when everything gets a, you know, an IP address, and they can decide, they can look in your house and find out what vitamins you're taking, what supplements you're taking, what pills you're taking, what medicines you're taking, what foods you're buying, what TV you have, and they can determine exactly what your profile is, what things you read online, what things you don't read online, and that's why when you fill out these surveys, you know, it doesn't make any difference. If you fill out a hotel survey or a car survey and all of this other stuff, they always ask you your name, your address, they always ask you how old you are, what your sex is, and they want to know exactly what your personality is and what your profile is. So guys, I urge you, don't fill those online questionnaires out anymore. Don't do any of that stuff. Don't put your name in any of that stuff, because it's all going to determine what type of file they have on you and what they're willing to send you and try to say is sell you, and if they consider you to deem you a threat. Because we talked about this, and Austin, you talked about this too, about that movie with Tom Cruise a few years ago, you know, in which they had a pre-crime unit that were picking people up yep. before they did anything wrong. That's where this is going with the AI, guys. That's where this is going, because they want to determine what you're going to do before you do it, so they can either stop you or force you to do it in the future. That's where they're trying to take all of this information with these data bots, with this smart dust that you've ingested, and all of the stuff they've tied into your central nervous system. They're doing everything they possibly can to create this giant web of knowledge about every single person. 220 million adults in the United States now have full profiles on them based upon what they like, what they bought, etc. Austin, this is some weird stuff, dude.
You're absolutely right, man. And this is what I have gone into detail about. And then you tie that into as well with the chips on the cards, as far as that Google has access now to about 70% of transaction purchases online. I talked about that a couple months ago. This is where it is headed. They're, as you just said, they're building a profile. And so the movie Minority Report that you were just talking about with Tom Cruise, that's very real. It's got some weird stuff in it. But in my opinion, from what I've seen with that movie over the last couple of years, that is exactly where it's headed. I mean, think about this for a second, guys. You know, they have this facility out in Utah, just one of their main facilities, the NSA does. And, you know, everybody talks about, oh, well, the NSA and the CIA, they, you know, they spy on what you're doing, or they're trying to listen to recordings for terrorists or monitor emails. That's the, you know, the front that they say on it. But if you guys done any research on the facility just out in Utah, you realize, and I pulled this up a while back ago, And just from the analysis of unclassified blueprints and exactly what they have, nobody even knows exactly what they have out there. But from the blueprints that were unclassified, it's supposed to be a little under 2 million square feet. They said it uses approximately 65 megawatts of electricity, costing about $40 million a year just in electricity. The facility uses 1.7 million gallons of water per day for the cooling containers. And an article by Forbes estimated the storage capacity is somewhere around 12 exabytes. That's E-X-A-B-Y-T-E-S. And I'm not a tech guy. I have no idea how much that is. But I have a pretty strong feeling that's an insane amount of storage capacity. They didn't build this facility, guys, to monitor ISIS members over in Afghanistan in chat rooms talking about doing a dirty bomb attack on a school bus in Syria. They didn't build this facility for that, guys. They built this facility specifically to store profiles on everybody, not just in the United States, but in the entire world. That's what Dad was just saying. He's 100% accurate. They're building an entire platform, and they've already built it, in my opinion, to monitor and predict every single thing you do. Like you just talked about, you start having over 200 likes on Facebook, they start knowing you better than they know you know yourself. So they don't have to go in and start doing house to house, room to room, all down the street, doing blind searches of people's homes. They just do a threat assessment in a specific zip code, and they say, we have 25 individuals that meet this description with this threat assessment based on what we've seen their internet usage, what we've seen their credit card purchases, what we've seen their social media likes, and what we've seen their travel go through all their Google tracking on their cell phones. And we've pretty much come up that these 25 are the top most extremist in this zip code, and they more than likely will provide some type of resistance against us if that happens, and they will be combative. So we need to go ahead and pick them up in one night on a single raid, and then we'll do another threat assessment and see who comes down on the next tier is a moderate to high risk and not an extreme risk. That sounds far-fetched, guys, but that's where it's going. Once they allow this AI to take over and completely start doing predictive programming, once they start allowing this to come in and literally do full threat assessments and do analysis on every single person, on everything you do, this is the next step. And that's why I keep telling everybody, the AI, this artificial intelligence, this driverless vehicle, these drones, all this stuff is not what you think it is. Everybody praises it as it helps with this and it helps that, and it does. The thing about it is, guys, just 15, 20 years ago, we knew how to function just fine without smartphones and drones and driverless vehicles and huge amounts of artificial intelligence and robots. We did just fine in the United States without that stuff. Yet everybody now is on this bandwagon because it's making our lives so cushy, so comfortable, so lazy. People are buying into this nonsense and saying, well, it'd really be nice to have a driverless vehicle that just drives me around all the time. I never have to drive at all. That's cool in concept, but when you start putting that into real life applications and start realizing what you're going to give up, what you're going to hand over in freedom, what type of liberties you are going to lose to the United States government and the deep state and the globalist, to me, it's nowhere near worth it. Because as Benjamin Franklin said numerous times, you heard me quote that, those who give up freedom for security deserve neither. And that's exactly what they are trying to do. They're trying to get us so lazy, so comfy, and so scared at the same time of the big bad boogeyman terrorist. They want us to give up every single right we have, including our constitutional rights, so that they can come in and protect us with all of their artificial intelligence, with all of their driver technology, with every aspect of stuff. So guys, you have to be aware of what's going on. Don't support this stuff. Don't give into it. And sure as heck, do not promote it in any way, shape, or form. And that's just my take on it, Dad. But this facility they built out in Utah, they didn't build that to just, you know, have rainbows and butterflies fly around them and feel good about spending like $4 or $5 billion just on the main facility as structure. That's not even including the technology they put inside. And that's just the numbers that they leaked out that were unclassified. In my opinion, that building with the AI they have in there now is probably upwards of $100 billion with the amount of technology they put in there, including the water tanks and water coolers. So this is just something we're having to deal with, but we have to start waking up the general population to not give in to this AI, robotics, driverless application nonsense, because once we let it happen, once it takes over, it's like the movie Terminator. It's like Skynet, guys. It's not going to go away easily. Once you start allowing, see, this is what nobody wants to think about in this whole area. They say, well, if it has over, if it picks over 300 likes on you, it finds this, it does a full analysis, it knows you better than you know yourself. What happens, guys, when the AI starts becoming so smart, it starts figuring out what the makers of it, what the code embedders of it, what the people that designed it, what happens when it starts figuring out what they're going to do? What happens when it starts predicting what their next step is and what code they're going to write to try and control the AI? It gets worse. That reaches a point where the AI starts controlling everything and anything around it, and it can do anything it wants. That, in my opinion, is one of the primary goals of Satan to bring in. I know it sounds bizarre, it may sound far-fetched, but if he can bring in this incredibly satanic agenda, it will allow him to completely overtake everything and tap into this AI. That's what Dad talked about. Was that supercomputer you talked about, Dad, that basically they can't figure it out, but it's there. They can't even figure out how it fully works.
This is the D-Wave computer. In fact, the creator of this D-Wave computer says that when he stands before it and it's working, it feels like he's standing in the altar of an alien god. That's his own words. I mean, this is that he and they don't know how it works. They have no idea. It's an interdimensional interface. See, everybody needs to get this. This is really important, okay? You know, a lot of times, you know, our bodies and our minds and our relationships, we get interfered with and we start getting under attack and we start having different groups of people messing with us and different people in our life messing with us, and we start having emotional challenges from all of this, and we start having some things that we have to deal with on an ongoing basis, and that allows us to grow and to develop. The problem that we don't see is this: our bodies are an antennae, our DNA is an antennae, we're an antenna basically to tie in directly into God's dimension and for God himself to know. We're set up to generate a specific frequency that ties in with the Holy Spirit to make us one with God, to create a blood covenant through Christ with God. And they're trying everything they possibly can to put interfering signals into that doggone, that energy field. That way they can do everything they can to create that world they had in Genesis chapter 6 where everybody's thoughts were evil all of the time. That's the thing that we don't get. That's where it's going. Jesus, our Lord, said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with the return of the Son of Man. This is exactly where they're trying to take us. They're trying to reestablish. See, every time you start to talk about the ancient pre-flood civilizations, every time, you know, you're like in Looney Land, this part people start thinking. You start talking about what happened in Genesis chapter 6, you know, you're in Looney Land. The problem is you can't understand what's going on now without understanding Genesis chapter 6 and going down the road to Looney Land. I mean, you have to go back and look at what's happening. Chuck Missler has a really good video you can watch. It's like 2 hours long, and it talks about what's happening with the AI. It talks about what's happening with spaceships and aliens and all of that stuff. Guys, we're not alone in the universe. The Bible tells us that. I mean, human beings are not the only creation doing the thing here. I mean, we got angels, we got demons, we got all kinds of stuff. And we don't have any idea how many other civilizations that God created. I mean, he doesn't answer to us. He can do whatever he wants to do. Now, I believe that we are the only civilization that was created in his image. I believe that the only time he's ever sent his own son to die was for us. I believe that with all of my heart. But there's no telling what's floating around out there and what these different life forms are. We have no idea. So we know a bunch of them are discussed in the Bible. We know that. You know, Russ Dizdar says there are like 6 or 7 different types of angels that they can actually lay out in Scripture as far as these different types of life forms. So what we have to understand is this: we're an antenna to God is what we are. They're trying to interfere with the signal from God. When you become a Christian, you're infused with the Holy Spirit through a frequency which allows you to be one with God, the creator of the universe, and he establishes a blood covenant with you. It's like this. In the old Indian days, they used to have a blood brother. and one Indian. I've talked about this before. I'm going to talk about it again. One Indian would cut his hand. The other one would cut his hand. They would put their hands together, and their blood would commingle. And the covenant head, or the person who was the higher one up, would basically say, everything I own now belongs to you, and everything you now own belongs to me. Well, God owns the universe. Newsflash. This is a newsflash. He built it all. And he wants to be in covenant with us. What kind of incredible deal was that? I mean, think through this for a second, guys. That's why if everybody understood this, everybody would be a Christian. That's why they're doing everything they can to silence shows that talk about blood covenant. They've taken the blood out of the hymnal in many denominations now. They don't want to talk about the cross. They don't want to talk about the blood. They want to give you this feel-good message of send me money and you'll be blessed so they can buy another plane. I know another guy who just bought another G5. Another G5. He bought a G5. He has a whole fleet of jets. The guy's a billionaire. He's a billionaire. He's a TV evangelist. He's a billionaire with a fleet of jets. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't have a problem with a preacher being blessed. I have no problem with that at all. I don't have a problem living in a nice house. I don't even have a problem having a jet. But you know, they don't need a fleet of jets. I mean, that money needs to be used to feed the poor, to put wells in the villages in Africa, to go down and try to help the people down in South America, to try to put orphanages in. They don't need to be sitting on all of this money and wanting people to give them more and more and more. I remember the late Paul Crouch, and I saw him do this personally. I wouldn't say it, and it was publicly. That's why I'm talking about it. He got on the air, and he started screaming at the camera and said, the reason you're not blessed is because you're not sending us money. He said that. I heard him with my own mind. And then you get there's another picture of him on there where he gets all mad, and he flips off the camera because they're not sending enough money in. Actually shoots a bird into the camera. Or you get a still picture of it. Paul Crouch flips off the camera. Look it up. And the thing that's crazy about this is, guys, is this. These guys get so caught up in the materialistic part of the world, they forget that we're all here but for a season. Paul Crouch is dead. His wife is dead. The empire they built has been taken over by somebody else. The whole thing is this. What is God going to say to Paul? What's God going to say to Jan? What's God going to say to any of us when we get to heaven? Is it going to be, well done, good and faithful servant? I mean, there is absolutely no reason to have a fleet of jets for one individual. It doesn't make any sense. It really, really doesn't. Now you think, well, why are you picking on TV evangelists? Guys, I've been behind the scenes with these guys. I've seen their lifestyle. I know who they are. I know almost all of them, and I've learned the hard way. Most of these guys, it's all about the money. And you know, you've never heard me be this direct with you guys before, but I am right now. It's about the money with these guys. It's not about the soul. It's not about salvation. It's not about repentance. It's not about the blood of Christ. It's not about covenant. It's not about relationship with Yeshua or Yahweh. It's none of it. It has nothing to do with anything. It's like, well, God loves you. He wants you blessed. God loves you. He wants you blessed. Hey, God does love you. He's a fun father. He's a fun father. Everybody likes the fun dad in the neighborhood. But he's also a just father. And he's also a direct father. And he also says, if you do what pleases him, that's what he wants you to do. He wants you to do what pleases him. And he also says that he is an if-then God. If you do this, if you accept Jesus Christ, if you repent, if you become a Christian, then he will do this for you. But guys, that's the biggest problem that we have in Christianity. Nobody preaches repentance. Nobody preaches the Word of God. Nobody tells the people that are out there that if they continue to live in sin, they're not going to be blessed. That's why so many people are not being blessed by God, because they are not doing the things that God asked them to do to be blessed, if that makes any sense to anybody listening. That's why so many... You see, one of the things I used to say to people years ago, and it's going to offend a few people, and I'm so sorry if it does, because sometimes you have extraneous circumstances, sometimes you have a death in the family, sometimes you have a bankruptcy, sometimes you have medical bills that you can't pay that causes this, but one of the things that really determines what kind of person you are, for basically barring for unforeseen circumstances, is your credit report. You know, if you've not paid anybody that you've ever borrowed money from, then chances are God's not going to look down and say, wow, so-and-so is being really, really good. I'm going to really bless them. We've got to understand that we have an if-then God. We have a fun father, but he's very direct and he's very concise. He talks about what he wants us to do and how he wants us to please him, but how he wants to walk in the cool of the garden with Adam and how he wants a relationship with us. Guys, listen to me for a second. It's not about the stuff with God. God doesn't care about the stuff. Everything on this planet is an energy field. It doesn't mean anything. It's just energy. That's all it is. God owns the universe. He doesn't care if you've got a nice house or a nice car or if you have a jet. He doesn't care. But the thing about it is this, guys. It's all about having a relationship with him. You know, if you have a dad that loves you a lot and he takes care of you and he pays your way through school, clothes you, feeds you for 18 years, pays your way through college, helps you get set up in business, and you never call him up to see how he's doing after you get out on your own, after you become successful, and you completely ignore that relationship, that's going to tick off your dad. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's going to make your dad mad. The same thing with your mom. You've got to remember that these relationships are built over time. That's what God wants to have happen. He wants you to have a relationship with him. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship. He wants you to. So when you pick up the telephone, you say, "God, I got to talk to you. You know, I'm calling home. I got to pray." He's going to hear your phone. You're not going to get a busy signal if he knows who you are. He's not going to put you on hold. He's going to say, "Okay, hey, Ted's got a problem. We got to fix this right now. Oh, hey, Austin's got a problem. We got to fix this right now." That's the God that you need to have as your partner, as your covenant head, and the relationship you need to have with him. You've got to be willing to pray to him on a regular basis, thank him on a regular basis, and be appreciative. Just be appreciative. "God, thank you that you gave me a wonderful life. Thank you that you gave me a wonderful wife. Thank you you've given me wonderful children. God, thank you that you've given me a great job. Thank you that you've done all of these things for me. Father, I appreciate what you've done." That's how you've got to talk to God. You have to have that relationship, not a religion. And that's the biggest problem we have today, Austin, is that people think they can do whatever they want to do, act however they want to act, and then not talk to God, not pray, and then as soon as they got a problem, they send up a flare gun and say, "Oh, hey, God, I'm down here." And he's like, "Who are you? I know I thought I knew you one time, but I haven't talked to you in a long, long time." That's not what he wants. That's the biggest problem we have with these feel-good, these name-it, claim-it, blab-it, grab-it preaching churches that basically don't want to tell you how to establish a relationship with God. They don't want to tell you how to pray. They don't want to tell you how to be in covenant with God. They don't want to tell you how to be holy. They don't want to tell you not to shack up with some girl you're not married to. They don't want to tell you any of that stuff. They want to just say, "Hey, look, send me money and you'll be blessed." And see, guys, here's the thing, too. Let's say this. Let's say you're living with somebody and you're not married to them right now, and you say, "Oh, I can't believe Ted's saying that." Okay, here's. The Bible talks about that very clearly. But you don't have to go. As far as I'm concerned, if you're never planning on getting married, if you're planning on living with this person for the rest of their life because you don't want to deal with marriage licenses with the state of Florida or any state you're in, why don't you just do this? Why don't you marry that person before God in a little closed ceremony between you and her in your bedroom one night with the Bible and just say, "I take you to be my wife," and be done with it and not tell the state. Just do it before God. There's no place in the Bible where it says we have to do it before man. We don't have to do that. We do it before God. And that way, you're not going to be living like that, and you can be basically married to her through God, through a spiritual marriage, and not have to go through some kind of state ceremony that they're only going to try to tax you more for. See, I've got a different attitude about all of this stuff. I believe if the Bible says to do it, that's how we do it. If the state has basically mandated something, I'm like, "Well, where does it say that in the Bible?" And Austin, I've said this so many times. They put a stop sign in our neighborhood years ago. I didn't vote on the stop sign. I didn't say the stop sign was okay. I think stop signs are a complete and total waste of time being at that stop sign. See, that's the same thing they do right now. Nobody asked me if I wanted to put sanctions on Russia. Nobody asked me that question. Nobody asked me that. No, none of my senators or congressmen called me up and said, "Hey, Ted, what do you think about this? Should we sign for this to be sanctioned against Russia?" My response would have been, "Absolutely not. Leave Russia alone." See, that's the problem that we have right now in the United States. Our legislators have completely taken control from the government, from the people. They no longer answer to the people. They have to answer to special interest groups, to lobbyists, and the people that are giving them money. And, of course, they also answer to the people that are blackmailing them for being pedophiles, weirdos, rapists, drug addicts, whoremongers, and just sickos. That's the problem we have. We need to clean this mess out of Washington and get it done. Remember, Trump owns... Trump didn't run for office because he wanted more money. He's a billionaire. Trump ran for office. He's trying to fix this mess. The problem that Trump has done, he's tried to please too many people in the very beginning by putting the wrong people into office. Look at this mess with Sessions, what he's turned into. I would fire Sessions right now if I was Trump. I'd say, "You're done. You're finished. Come in here. Give me your resignation. You're getting terminated. I'm done. We're not playing this stupid game with you. Why are you coming after me and let Hillary go? Why did you do that?" Well, he's probably some kind of doggone plant that Trump didn't know about. Guys, this is what we have to do. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. You shall know them. Guys, we need to all have good fruit. We need to all be bearing good fruit. We need to realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we also need to be showing good fruit and not bad fruit and bad seed. Well, not bad seed, but putting our good seed in the bad soil. Guys, we got a bunch of people that are... forgive my vernacular, hell-bent on destroying the United States of America and establishing a one-world global government, and just making the United Nations head of everything. This goes back to Rockefeller, who was funded by the Sabbatean Kabbalists. This goes back to all of these guys, Morgan, J.P. Morgan. This goes back to Carnegie. This goes back to all of these guys that were funded through the satanic banking cartel. These guys are doing everything they possibly can now to resurrect their stupid serpent god from the pit and basically put him in charge of the planet. Guys, this is what they're doing. This is what they've been doing for hundreds of years. And as long as we tell you what they're doing, we can stand in prayer against this and we can put a stop to it. As far as I'm concerned, at least we can get a doggone delay in what's going to happen, because the book of Revelation is going to happen, guys. That's going to happen. But as far as me, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to do everything I possibly can to warn everybody about it, to try to postpone this thing as long as we possibly can, if not for my own sake, for my sake of my children and my grandchildren. Guys, it's important that we all work together in unison to try to slow this mess down, call our congressmen up, tell them they're a bunch of idiots, tell them to stop doing this stuff, and basically leave Trump alone. And we also need to tell him to get these guys that he's appointed that are these Goldman Sachs stooges out of these positions of authority and make us realize that he's really trying to do the right thing for us. But guys, that's my opinion. I'm sorry I've got on such a rant about all that stuff today, but that's everything I told you was right. What do you think, Oz?
No, you definitely hit it on the head, man. That's exactly what's going on. I mean, that's why I talked about earlier the same thing you said. They don't ask us anything. I mean, they're putting up this stupid 5G network all over the country now. They've ramrodded that through in South Carolina and multiple other states. They didn't have any meetings on it. They didn't send any flyers out and ask people if they're okay. They didn't send an online survey out and see if everybody's okay with that. They want to get everybody's opinion. I didn't see a vote held. We get to put votes in a ballot box and see if we want to start getting bombarded with 5G radiation. None of that stuff. All we do is they end up saying it and say, well, it's law now, so you have to follow it. Same thing with the Obamacare. We didn't get to vote on that. We didn't have a national vote to come together and say, hey, we're going to see what the population wants. 50-50, whatever the highest spread is, whatever the highest percentage wins. Yes, Obamacare, no Obamacare. Are you okay with being taxed by the government with an indefinite amount of money that goes up every year? That was the whole thing that I had the issue with the original thing with Obamacare. We didn't vote on it, and we were being taxed indefinitely on it. They came in and they first said, well, the first year, we're not going to have a penalty. We're going to waive it. Oh, how nice of you. You're such a nice person. You're not stealing more of my money for the first year. Second year, oh, it's going to be like $300. $300. Only $300. You have to pay it if you don't have insurance, $300. Next it comes up. Then it's like, oh, it's like $500 or $600 now. Oh, now we're going to bump it up for like a whole family. It's going to end up being like $2,000 or $3,000 now. And they never had a cap, nor did they ever have a year that it eventually changed back or slowed down. It was just designed to go up every single year. So where does that lead? So I didn't get to vote on it. They forced it into law and made it law. And now, 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, if this thing doesn't get repealed, they're going to start – where are they going to go up to? Oh, you're going to be fined $50,000 per person if you don't have health insurance. What? I don't even make that much money every year. Well, that's fine. We'll go ahead and take all of your money and we'll put you in debt with IRS. So we'll go ahead and throw you in jail if you don't pay for it. But I only make like $30,000 a year. How am I supposed to pay $50,000 for health insurance fine? Oh, we don't know. It's not our problem. It's law. It got written into law. It's not our problem now. I didn't get to vote on it. You guys are fining me now? Taxation without representation? Exactly what they did with this nonsense. That's why it's been one of the biggest things I've been so mad about in recent history with Congress allowing until the stupid Russian sanctions crap came in here now. And we're going to start sanctioning any country now that does business with Russia because we say so. And apparently now we're just the go-to people. We just get to dictate laws unilaterally across the globe and nobody has a say in them. I didn't hear them take a vote in Germany or in the EU or any other country and say, hey, we're going to vote on this. Do you want us to file these sanctions on Russia? If not, we won't do it. If you do, we'll go ahead and do it. I didn't hear that at all. They never did that. They just blatantly did it on themselves. But anyways, a side note, before we keep ranting all this stuff, another article now with the GMO industry, who is in full-blown propaganda mode now. Now they're coming out and they're saying that they just published a study in PLOS One, complete and total bought and paid for by Monsanto or one of these other GMO companies, now saying that delays in government approval of GMO crops, that the government isn't blindly approving GMO crops for immediate usage, is now killing people. The pro-GMO propaganda machine is at full-blown works. As a study that was published in PLOS One is saying that children are dying because the government's slow approval of GM crops. In a study, which, like I said, is bought and paid for by probably every GMO company, a group of researchers calculated the effects that the delays could cause on the population of five countries in Africa. They used a calculation model that looked at the economic benefits for consumers and producers, as well as the advantages of reduced malnutrition and farm households. I mean, this is total crap. This is what they first came up with. According to their calculations, had Kenya adopted genetically modified corn back in 2016, somewhere between 440 and 4,000 lives could have been saved. If Uganda had seized its opportunity to introduce a banana that was resistant to black Satoka in 2017, they believe that between 500 and 5,500 lives could have been saved during the last 10 years. Their estimates come as authorities mull the approval of genetically modified cowpea to Niger, and Benin, as it was intended to be introduced this year, but approvals are still pending. This is the type of complete and total horse fecal matter that these GMO companies produce on a regular basis. Total fear-mongering propaganda that they're trying to use to force the government and force the general population into believing these guys do anything but absolutely rape the earth, cause cancer and all types of other health issues in people, and kill more lives than it even possibly can come close to saving. This is what the GMO industry does. This is what Monsanto's about. These guys are literally working for the devil, in my opinion, and what they produce and what it does to the human body. If you guys ever even came close to seeing the emails or getting the phone calls, we hear from people on a regular basis that are eating crap food, that are eating GMOs, and the health issues they're having with their liver, their kidneys, their digestive tracts, and it only gets worse. And we tell them, start on some basic supplements. Cut out the GMOs. Cut out all the glyphosate foods. Go organic. And the ones that listen, almost every single time I've worked with people that have cut all that crap out of their diet and gone full organic and at least started on our basic multiples and cod liver oil, at least probably 90 to 95% of the time, they'll call us up to reorder in a month to 2 months and they'll say, man, I can't believe how much better I feel. I can't believe how much less my stomach hurts. I can't believe how much better my bowel movements are. I can't believe how much less inflammation I have in my body. Man, my mental acuity is better. And I say, are you eating clean? Oh, yeah, I'm eating clean. I'm taking the multiple. And I go, there you go. You get in what you get out. I mean, you get out what you get in. What you put in your body's going to show you. This stuff that they're spraying with glyphosate, they're genetically modified, is literally straight out of the pit of hell, in my opinion, on what it does to human beings and pretty much every living organism on the planet. So when I see rhetoric like this that they start producing and trying to push on people and saying, if we would have approved genetically modified foods in Nigeria, it would have saved 5,000 people. Complete and total crap, in my opinion. So, yeah, I wanted to touch base on that, Dad, to make sure I rebuttal this ridiculous article these guys tried to put out.
Well, you're absolutely right, Austin. The whole thing with the genetically modified food, it's like this. They built it in hell. Okay, they built it in hell. And hell didn't want it anymore. Hell said, this stuff's the pits, man. We'd rather have food out of hell than eat this stuff. This stuff's awful. So what they did, they poked a hole in the planet, and they shoved it up to the earth, and they said, okay, these people eat it because we don't want it in hell anymore. That's what this stuff is. It's that bad. And the problem is, the more you try to tell people about it, people listen or they don't. And what I always like is the blank stare. The blank stare. You talk to somebody about something, the blank stare. You get the blank stare. And you think, well, why in the world are you looking at me with a blank stare? Well, let me tell you why they're looking with a blank stare. Number one, it's basically, it's cognitive dissonance. They cannot believe they cannot believe that this is possible to be true. They cannot believe that somebody would actually think that this is okay. I mean, this is the blank stare you get when you try to tell people, well, no, no, the government wouldn't do that because if it wasn't safe, they wouldn't feed it to us. I'm like, no, they give you cigarettes, they give you alcohol. Why would they care about the food? And they, well, no, that's different. I said, no, it's not different. I said, anything that's toxic is still toxic. It doesn't matter if it's legal or not legal. I said, it's just, yep, this stuff is really unhealthy for you. But see, it's what happens when you basically are programmed over and over and over and over again by the TV, by the radio, by flicker rates, by this incredible wavelength that they're sending through everybody now, you know, and they're trying to change everybody's personality, cause conflict. And you can't allow them to do this to you guys. You just got to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to rely on the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to be here, and the Holy Spirit's going to be within me, and Jesus' blood is going to continue just to resonate a healing frequency from the cross for me, and I no longer have a requirement for sacrifices because God has already saved me through the blood of the Lamb, through Yeshua. Guys, that's how you have to stand against this stuff. Get me behind me, Satan. Don't eat this stuff. Avoid it. By the way, since we're talking about this stuff, the other day I was coming out of the airport, and I was in Philadelphia, and I started speaking to a guy who was walking with me, and he was from Finland. And I asked him, I said, is the rape crisis as bad in Finland as it is in Sweden? And he looked at me and he goes, it's much, much worse in Finland.
What?
He goes, yes. He goes, we've had nothing but problems. He goes, they started this thing in Sweden 10 or 15 years ago. They just started hammering us with all of these immigrants. He says, they're raping our women. He said, it's an incredible nightmare. And he looked at me funny. He goes, how do you know this? And I said, well, I do a talk show. He goes, nobody knows what's going on in Sweden or Finland. Nobody talks about it. In Europe, they don't talk about any of this stuff. Nobody can mention any of this stuff on Facebook or anywhere else in Europe. Nobody, otherwise you get flagged. And he said, nobody can talk about any of this stuff. He goes, I'm amazed that you actually know. I said, well, yeah, I know. I said, in fact, you'll be, I'm talking about you on the show. And I said, well, go ahead and tell everybody what's going on in Finland. It's worse than Sweden with the migrants because we haven't been acclimated to it and they're forcing them on us because of the EU. Guys, this isn't getting any better. Now I want to read you another article where I brought this up. Human traffickers, okay, are contacting the Italian Coast Guard in advance to receive support and to pick up their human traffic. Now, also, many of these people that are being trafficked, you know, into Europe don't ever make it to Europe. And they're saying that thousands are dying. No, thousands of them are being taken on airplanes and C-130 transport planes to different countries around the world to have their organs harvested. Okay, that's where this whole thing is about, organ harvesting and basically selling body parts. That's what this whole thing is about with these guys that are disappearing. Listen to what they're doing. This is some crazy stuff. They will actually pick these people up 40 or 50 miles off the coast of Africa. And they will say, by the way, you know, Tunis is just 60 miles away from the rescue spot. We put them right back in Africa. It's 260 miles to Italy, right? They take them the 260 miles to Italy instead of taking them back to where they came from. And they have a huge group of trucks, not trucks, but boats now that are basically contacting the Italian Coast Guard in advance, way before, at least 15 ships out there right now, huge ships that are picking these things, these people up from the Libyan coast, picking up their human cargo and taking them back to Italy. I mean, this is happening every single day. Now, they're saying it's hundreds of thousands so far this year. Guys, it's not hundreds of thousands. It's probably millions. And let me read you some of the stuff they're talking about right here. This is giving you a breakdown of the demographics on this. This article is by J.W. Williams, and it's called Italy Seizes NGO Rescue Ship to Stop Flood of Migrants Seeking Welfare. This is by E.J. Griffin. You need to know. It's on his website right now. It says, mass immigration was supposed imposed on Europeans using the excuse of helping Syrian refugees. However, only 1.4% of the current migrants are from Syria. The current migrants are mainly from peaceful countries in Africa, South Asia, and the Middle East. We already know that. Initially, mass migration was sold to the American public, the European public, as an aid for the Syrian refugees, and now they're beginning to realize that Nigerians make up 20% of the arrivals, followed by the nationals of Eritrea, wherever that is, and then Sudan, Gambia, Ivory Coast, Guinea, Somalia, Mali, Senegal, and Bangladesh. And most of these countries are not currently involved in war. 85% of the asylum requests in Italy are from men, with only 4% from minors. Guys, this is what they're doing in this entire thing. And the article goes on to say that it almost as if their migrants are being brought in to change the demographics of Europe and to take over the host countries, which is exactly what they're going to do when they have their 6 and 8 babies within 20 to 30 years. What do you think, Austin?
My opinion, that's exactly where this is headed, man. They're seeing that it works. They're seeing that basically the migrants that they brought into Europe, they can't get rid of them because, I mean, once they get in there, they basically mesh into the underworld. I mean, even the ones that, you know, are contributing anything or maybe are trying to contribute, who knows, they're very difficult to extract, especially when you have this many people. I just saw a video this morning somebody sent me, basically, of about 300 African men going wild after they arrived in the Spanish North African enclave of Ceuta. Virtually no women or children can be seen in the footage. You can see in the video about 300 African men going wild with delight after they crossed the Tarajal border. And they're running around basically where they're held by security forces to be taken to the temporary immigrant shelter center. You'll notice in the video, it's basically where they're going into Spain. There's like no women or children, like none. These are all migrants coming there supposedly from war-torn countries and whatnot. I mean, there's like no women or children in the video. And you'll notice that a huge amount of them are carrying smartphones and they're videotaping the whole thing as they're coming in. I don't know if anybody else has an issue with that, but if you're coming into a country as a migrant and you need help because you're coming from a war-torn country, why do you have a $50, $100, $200, $500 smartphone? I mean, that kind of boggles my mind. And his dad just said, everybody keeps talking about we have to help Syria, we have to help the refugees in there. Italy just reported the last 5 months that there only 1.4% of the migrants came in were from Syria. The rest of them were from Nigeria, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Gambia, as you just said. That's where these guys are coming from. So what they're doing now is the Middle East doesn't really have this massive influx anymore. So now they're going south into Africa, and they're bringing in all these migrants out of North Africa, and they're shoveling them into Europe now. This is where it's headed. They're going to eventually completely change the entire culture of Europe if they keep pushing this for another couple of years, because there's literally going to be no bringing these people out of there. And like I said, I don't have a bit of problem with legal immigration. I don't even have a problem helping people if they really are women and children and kids in war-torn countries that really need help. What I have an issue with is people coming here that have absolutely no business or need to be in a country and coming there simply to get free benefits, free welfare, free phone, free food, free everything from the government because that's what they know to do now, and they're allowing it to happen. It's a very, very significant problem, and it's not getting any better, Dad, especially after I saw this video now. It was kind of weird, actually, to see this because you'd expect to see at least, you know, a 50-50 spread. Some men and women, you know, and then a large percentage of children coming in. No, it's all young adult males in the video, like 18, 19 to 25-year-old adult males. That's it, the entire video coming into Spain now. And so that's kind of weird when you start seeing this because that shows you that there's an entire other agenda with these guys coming into this country.
No, that's exactly right. And so it's just, you know, they had to do the EU first. Back when I was in Germany, so many years ago before the EU, the first time I was there was in 77. Every single country you went into, you had to stop at a border checkpoint. Every country. Spain, Portugal, Italy, Germany, Austria, France. Everywhere you had border checkpoints. And if you didn't have the papers, you didn't have the passports, you didn't have your papers in order, you didn't get across the border, Austin. You were stopped. There were backups with, you know, there'd be 40, 50 cars, and, you know, sometimes waiting in 4 or 5 different lines, depending on where you were, what Autobahn you were on. They stopped all that stuff. They weren't allowing this free immigration through Europe because they knew it would do cultural degradation, which we've talked about cultural warfare now. And they had to put the EU in to break these borders down. They had to allow these EU countries to get rid of all these border checkpoints to allow free flow of immigration through this. This has been a long-term plan. This is not something that happened overnight. They've been planning on doing this for the last 20 years, and now they're in full-blown implementation of it. The problem is the people in Europe are so dumbed down and so politically correct that they're unwilling, because of all the movies they've seen about World War II and prejudice and all the other stuff that they've seen that's been drilled into them thousands and thousands of times. They don't want to be considered themselves as racist or prejudiced against any people or group of people. Guys, if everybody's coming to eat your food and you can't feed your own family, it's time to say maybe we shouldn't bring so many people over. I mean, maybe we got to put a stop to this now. But they don't want to do that. Same thing happened in Venezuela. Delta Airlines has now suspended flights to Venezuela starting this fall. They're not going to be flying into there anymore because they said the country's too unstable. Venezuela has as large of oil reserves, if not larger than the United States of America. They've got gold. They've got natural resources. They were, back in the 60s, they were one of the most prosperous countries in the world. And then they were telling their people there who were voting, well, what we need to do is we need to start sharing from the money from the middle class and the upper class with the lower classes so that we can go ahead and make everything fair because we're so prosperous and our country is so rich. See, Citgo Petroleum is pretty much based out of Venezuela. People don't realize that. So what ended up happening is, Austin, they started going more and more left, more and more socialist, more and more communist. And these Sabatini Cabalists got in there to their election process and installed a socialist communist government in there. And there is no socialist communist government that can even feed itself because nobody has the incentive to work when everybody's making the same amount of money. If you're going to pay somebody $100 a week, yep, whether they work or not work, they're going to say, well, I'm not going to work. See, now Venezuela is in a complete and total meltdown because of this. Why? Because they listen to the siren song of socialism that everybody needs their own fair share, and Joe the plumber basically didn't build that business. The same thing that Obama did this 8 years ago, and we're still dealing with it. Guys, thanks for listening to the show today. I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for getting your supplements from Health Masters, at least your multiple vitamins. Thank you. You mean so much to us, and you're part of our family. We're like having a little fireside chat here, and we're all cooking marshmallows, by the way, that don't have pork in them. Most marshmallows are pork around the fire, and we're basically having a s'mores together or whatever with organic chocolate, I may add. So, guys, we're doing everything we can to continue to tell you guys the truth for as long as we possibly can. Thank you for the support. Thank you for your donations. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. Thank you for listening, and thank you for telling your friends about the show. God bless you guys. Austin, I'll go ahead and write the summary, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Austin, you go ahead and close.
Absolutely, bud. Glad to have you back in the States. Yeah, we appreciate everything, guys. Thank you for the emails and support. Be sure to check out healthmasters.com for all of your supplement needs. And, again, we still have the magnesium sports oil. That will be on sale as product of the week until Wednesday, as always. So be sure to go on there and vote for the other products you want to see win. And also, too, check out the sports oil. See if it's something you want to try. Our magnesium Dead Sea oil with a large amount of different essential oils in it really help out with muscle fatigue, soreness, and also increasing blood flow to the muscles. Give you a very good pump. Rub it on your biceps or triceps before an arm workout, or on your back before a chest workout. I've done that a few times. Definitely get a lot of blood flow and pump going. So if you guys need anything, email us, healthmasters.com, or call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.